This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Brilliant. That was good. I tried to really speed up at the end there. I always like having fun with that intro. Everyone listening at home, if you could do us this favour, it would be amazing. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a little favour, navigate your way to the show page. And I think on Apple it's at the bottom, but on Spotify it's at the top. And you can give us a cheeky 5-star review. It really, really helps. And on Apple, if you write one, we might read it out on the show. We would love that. If it's 5 stars, if it's 1 star, being like, oh, this didn't help me manage, then, you know, we might read that out. We can use it as a question.
Yes.
So if you give us a 1-star review, give us a question in there as well, and then we can talk about it. Because it's kind of the energy we've gotten on one of our recent videos. So mum and I put out a fun video. It was from one of our recent episodes on safer sex, I think.
Was it? Or was it sexual pain?
You're so bloody good. You're absolutely right. It was on why is sex so painful. You're absolutely right. And we were talking about your Kegel muscles and why they're so important to do for men, for
your
women,
Kegel
for everything
exercises.
In between. Shit. I always call them your Kegel muscles and why they're important to do. You've got them. I need to remember that it's the exercises. But anyway, your Kegel exercises. Oh, and if you want to know why they're so important, go and have a ruddy listen. But after you finish listening to this, anyway, it got us talking about penises, and mum was telling us how they droop, right? Hold up your hand as if you're doing a thumbs up, but then extend your fingers. The thumb is 20 years old. The first finger is 30, 40, 50, 60, as you go down the fingers, ending with your 6-year-old as your pinky. So your penis droops over age. The video's doing quite well.
But the point was, if you do the Kegel exercises, you don't droop so much. Because it's the muscles at the top that get a bit laxer. The muscles, and so if the muscles are kept in perky condition, then you don't get the same level of droop. And people have been commenting on this, haven't they?
It's so funny. And I thought that's why we had to mention it, because there's just been so many, particularly men, and particularly men of a certain age, who have just been messaging being like, what do you mean droop? And then someone replied, thinking the exact same, isn't it already drooped? And then it was like, well, hang on a minute, they might be saying opposite things. Then, lol, mine's the same angle at 52 as it was at 20, smirk face. Well, I'm 40 and mine is not, lol. It does feel like there's a lot of people rushing to be like, well, no, my penis doesn't droop at all. And then at the same time, there's a load of comments being like, hasn't it always been drooped?
I mean, it's not an overnight thing, is it? You're not going to notice it. It happens very gradually over a period of time.
Yeah, and could you say for the ones that say, if it's true that it hasn't drooped, are they just doing their Kegel exercises?
I wouldn't be surprised.
There you go. Wonderful. Love all that.
Well done, chaps.
So anyway, go and listen to that episode on why is sex so painful, because you'll hear the full list of all the benefits and stuff there. But today we are going to be answering some of the questions that you sent into us on our anonymous Google form, which is in the bio of this episode, and our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X,
formerly known as Twitter.
Wonderful. It's an anonymous Google form. You can fill it all out there. Google will ask you for an email, but we won't see that email. It's purely for Google, the overlords. And then you can send in your question free from any idea that we'll see anything. much like this one here. And it simply says, how to stop being a people pleaser? ? Yeah. Which I think doesn't necessarily need to be a sex question or relationship question purely. But I do think people who are people pleasers or perceive themselves to be people pleasers, they do run into a lot of problems in the sex and relationship sphere.
Well, it's funny. The other day I saw a tweet or something which said, people pleasers. What is it with people pleasers? The buggers have never pleased a person in their lives.
Well, actually, that's really funny. Can you maybe explain what people pleasers are? And maybe that'll explain why that's even funnier.
Well, it's because they're always wanting to do things for someone else. I mean, they put other people before themselves and they end up doing things they don't really want to do. So sometimes they're kind of rescuers. So they will jump in and try and fix things for people and be terribly empathic and wanting to be helpful. And, you know, in ways that can be irritating, let's face it, sometimes for some people.
And ways that people didn't even ever ask for.
Yeah.
It's this perceived idea sometimes that people pleasers are like, oh, I'll be helpful if I do this. And then they do it and everyone goes, well, why the hell have you done that? You go, oh, well, I was trying to be helpful. He goes, that didn't help at all.
You've just thrown away my lunch.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, but I was just trying to tidy up. And it's like, well, you've thrown away my lunch. Mm. That was my last Dairy Dunker in there and it's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The thing is, there are people that really do find it very, very, very difficult to say no to somebody. If someone asks for something, they think they have to give it to them. They at work, they are taken advantage of. And they often think, well, if I'm really good and I do lots of things for other people, maybe the universe will be kind to me, or maybe people will notice and they'll be nice to me and I won't have to ask for things. But actually, learning to ask for what you need and being really clear about your needs is really, really helpful to the world. The world loves it. If you ask for what you want, if you tell people what you want, they love it. What they don't like is being expected to guess. Because when you're expected to guess, then people get upset when you can't guess and you think, oh, I didn't know I was upsetting you. Ooh. And you've got these people making deals with the universe all over the place. And exactly. It's very awkward.
It's awkward. I mean, I'm not going to lie. All this making deals with the universe thing sounds kind of close to home because I feel like I've done this. I've that whole idea of karma and stuff. And I don't think I'm a superstitious person, but I avoid triple drain covers. I always tuck in my chairs. And it's not because I'm like, oh, this is... I think I'm like, well, the universe has got my bloody back for this. Oh, if I tuck in my chair, the universe has got my back. I'm a good person still. But it's almost like this, like, it's this universe thing. It's magical thinking. It's this existential idea that I'm going to go to hell if I don't do these things. You know, or something. And if I don't say yes to everyone, people please and stuff.
But basically what it's about is people feeling that they're not entitled to ask for their needs. We've talked before about people whose emotions aren't welcomed. And if you've been brought up in a family where emotion isn't welcomed, and lots of families say things like, and this is the most oppressive thing you can say to your child, I think, is, oh, just be happy.
Yeah, which I think is my advice on a lot of these questions. But anyway, go on.
Well, I mean, if you tell someone to be happy, then they have to live up to that. And they don't necessarily always feel happy. And I think it has to be okay to be normal and have moods that go up and down and not try and please people by always being jolly, being ready to say, oh, I'm just having a bad day. You don't need to spill your guts. You don't have to tell them every detail of your life. You just have to, you know, be honest about if you're not feeling so great. People are okay with that, you know, and they'll probably ask if there's anything they can do to help. They may be keeping their fingers crossed and hoping you'll say no, but they'll probably be nice to you. But what is irritating is when somebody, this is how we got an avocado bathroom suite.
What just happened?
Fury happened. Rage. Yeah.
Oh my God, Mum's eyes just glazed over and she freaked. Wow, okay, what is going on?
Well, somebody going...
An avocado, just say those words again, just so we're all on the same page and then tell us what's happened.
Yeah,
an
avocado bathroom suite, 20 years after they were all out of date, in a bath showroom.
Yeah.
Walking around saying, oh, this is nice. And the other one thinking, oh, it's not.
Right, yeah.
And saying, oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? And then going, oh, do you think so? Oh, well, let's go and buy it then.
Yeah.
That is how you end up with what you don't want, what nobody wants.
And it was this horrible sort of limey green.
It's avocado.
Sweet. It was, oh, God.
But, it, well, yeah, but the good thing is, if you're sick, doesn't show so much.
Oh, Christ. I mean, every cloud. Anyway, okay, right. Okay, wherever the hell we are right now in this avocado bathroom
we're
suite.
In a bath showroom.
Let's get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And let's take it right back to how people do pleasing. I stop being a people pleaser? So we've worked out what one is. We've worked out the terrible, awful avocado-based things that can happen to your bathroom as a result. But how does one stop this?
Be curious about your impulses. So if somebody asks you to do something and you think, I don't want to do that, but I have to say yes because I have to be nice and I don't know how to say no, then just check your impulses, be curious and think, do I really have to do that? And think about saying, that would be really difficult, actually, if you don't want to do something. Or when somebody says, oh, what do you think of this colour? Don't say, quite nice.
Yeah.
Say, yeah. Oh, no, it looks like sick. So be honest. I mean, you know, if the other person loves it, they may not be thrilled you said it looked like sick, but you could say, meh. You know, you could be a bit kinder and say, not my cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be honest. Don't feel that you have to be the one doing everything for everyone. If something happens, don't feel you have to fix it. Don't feel you have to fix the world. You don't. You know, nobody does. We all fix the world together. I mean, living is cooperative. And cooperation works better when you know what people want and need.
Yeah, and how they actually genuinely feel.
Mm.
And I do think that's it. I think that is the first step, is listening to your impulses. I think you can be so deep in this people pleaser thing that you've actually forgotten what you really want. And you've forgotten even how to access that part of your gut, that gut feeling.
It's difficult because your brain is in a situation that knows that a question has just been asked. So what I do, brain says, when a question has been asked, is I go down this route, which says, yes, of course. So you really do have to be curious and think, because you're having to rewire your brain. Because what you normally do is what you will automatically do without even thinking, if you don't train yourself to think. And this is this very thing. People pleasing is what an awful lot of my clients are complaining of. This is they have therapy for this.
I was going to say, is that not something to really think about here? If you really think, because I think people pleasing can really dictate your life.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's not just sex and relationships. It can dictate, you mentioned jobs and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
it can
everything.
Really be, it can be, because if you're people pleasing, that's so many of your decisions a day are being made based on that. And so I think therapy is something you should definitely, definitely think about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely true. You're allowed to ask for help. But people, lots of people behave in ways that they wouldn't if they thought about it. But they've been kind of groomed very often, not, you know, to be happy, to always smile. I'm very suspicious of people that smile all the time, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Diggs is making a very sad, glum face. He's not smiling.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Because, you know, in the animal kingdom, when you see animals baring their teeth, what are they saying?
Piss off.
Yeah, they're saying fuck off.
But what about hyenas?
What about hyenas?
Well, aren't they saying, like, we're going to eat you?
Well, they laugh. They don't bare their teeth.
Oh,
they
right. Go, and chimpanzees? Aren't they?
Chimpanzees,
aren't they great...
very much. Chimpanzees,
they're
very
being,
much.
Like, piss off.
They're
I'm going to bite your face off.
Yeah, go away.
Right.
Leave me. Yeah.
Mm.
Very much so.
But I thought that's what laughing was. Didn't they think about the laughing is us baring our teeth, be like, ha ha ha, and it's a sense of dominance, like we're laughing at a situation or at someone to sort of be like, oh, isn't this good? I'm in a superior situation to this. Ha ha ha.
No, it's about sharing. It's a lot of it. So it might be, but a lot of it is about sharing pheromones and things, about sharing endorphins and, you know, positive feelings with a crowd. It's about socializing. Mm. Laughter. It's important. It's something that we all do together. And we're laughing at the same thing. So you've got this shared sense of ownership. And I mean, the noises that animals make and the way they bare their teeth, that is very much saying clear off, you know, don't come any closer.
Remind me again what this has to do with people pleasers.
Well, it's to do with when people, I said, people who smile all the time make me nervous. Because I'm no fun. But I mean, look, I smile.
Good fucking job you're a therapist then.
I smile a lot.
Otherwise you'd be sick at work. If you work with comedians all day or whatever, you'd be sick of it. Luckily you get the saddest.
No, I don't. That's not true. There's a lot of laughter during therapy. But I tell you, especially mine. But I tell you what, there's something about people that never stop smiling, that are delivering bad news with a smile, maybe, or they just have a grin on that face all the time. And whereas you know, people's faces change. You know, it becomes animated, and then it looks sad, and then it becomes animated. So smiles are much more appropriate. They are in response to something. So what I'm talking about is fixed smiles that are not in response to something. They're just there. That's scary.
Two-faced.
Well, it can be, yeah.
Gemini.
You're a Gemini.
And I'm smiling.
But you don't do it all the time.
Well.
We can be a miserable little bugger sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, you know it better than anyone. You know it better than anyone.
Yeah.
Certainly not people please around you. My God. People don't. Oh, wow. Right. Love all that.
That's, on that happy note. On that,
let's think about that during the break. Let's really think about that. Let's have a little break. Let's have a lovely little smile. Actually, me and Mum are going to frown at each other for a bit just to regulate everything again.
Okay.
And restore equilibrium. And we'll be back with one more question after this.
You know what we should do? We should play Don't Laugh.
Oh, what? A staring contest?
Yeah.
But the thing is, well, it wouldn't be very good radio, would it?
Yeah, it would.
Have we started?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you've lost.
Right, now, don't laugh, right?
Okay, but also, right. Does it count if it's through a screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, look into my eyes. Do not laugh, right?
All right, ready.
Okay,
I don't know. I feel like we both lost. We both made noises in there. I just can't believe. I just like when you said, I don't know what this. You just banged the table in such a way that made me laugh. Then
did I bang the table?
You saw. Okay, here we go. Your eyes were massive, and you just stared straight into the camera. It was terrifying.
Oh dear.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, everyone, we're back. Are we ready?
Yes.
I got out of a toxic relationship and decided to take time for myself. I haven't had sex for a year, and now I'm scared to be intimate with someone. I get to the third date and then call it off. I'm now dating someone that's really nice and it could go somewhere, but I'm still being held back by this anxiety/fear. The last dates, he's noticed that I have been a bit closed off and avoided going home with him. I like him and want to have sex, but I'm trying to put myself off him. How do I get over my fear of having sex with someone new?
Oh, take it slowly. Take it slowly, you know, maybe spend the night together and say you don't want to have sex. You just want to sleep, you know, just want to cuddle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, try things like maybe having a shower together. Then you have the experience of being undressed and close. But be clear about how far you're prepared to go. And make sure you trust the person, obviously, because you know, that there's no question of no means yes or anything like that. And be really, really clear about what's possible. But just take it really, 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 really gradually. Mm. And if you don't want to take your clothes off, and if you don't want to be in their bed, say so. And so, you know, just say one day, but I just need to trust you first. I had a difficult relationship. That's fair enough.
And I think, yeah, within that, I think it's worth explicitly saying what you're saying there, which is be honest with them.
I did. I said be honest, yes. But I said be honest about how you're feeling. But I wouldn't give somebody else a lot of details about how toxic your previous relationship was. Just in case it frightens them, but also in case they turn out to be toxic as well and they use the information you're giving them. I mean, that's very unlikely, but
it's unlikely
at the beginning of a relationship. Be very careful. Protect your information.
Exactly. And you know, eke it out again, take that slowly and eat that at your pace. But I just think it's worth saying, be honest with them. Don't like, because I think so far maybe they've noticed you've been a bit closed off, and maybe you haven't said, but you could say, listen, I do like you, like you say, I'm just not ready yet to do that for the reasons you know, because of that toxic relationship. Don't need to go into any more detail. But I think, yeah, letting them know as well is helpful. Mm. And I think actually, weirdly, at least when things like this have cropped up with me, that then takes away all the anxiety all of a sudden, because then you suddenly are like, oh God, this person doesn't mind. Mm. They're actually being really understanding and caring. And that suddenly just makes the whole vibe very sexy.
I was going to say, it's so hot. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then suddenly you're like, oh shit, we're in this thing together. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh fuck. Obviously don't get...
How would you go...
What just happened?
That was you. That's what
was that me?
That's what
did
you
I
kind
say?
Of said. You said, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, you're blah, blah, blah.
I didn't even realise I did that. God, that's what I say when I'm horny.
This is why he never gets a date.
Oh, shut the hell up. Yeah, it's good that you've recognised you do like this person, and previously maybe you've liked people before, but you've just cut it off early because of this thing. But this is good. You've noticed why maybe you're doing it, and now you know how to move on. If you really like this person, you do trust them, then you can tell them and take it at your own pace.
It makes sense to take time. I mean, I know you're thinking a year's a long time. It really isn't. Not if it was really difficult relationship. It takes a lot longer than a year to thaw out.
Well, let's have this one to finish. It's a very, very, it's a fun one. Here we go. Can you give me sex top or position for the day if you get to know my questions for the day is love to keep your wife on her toes?
Excuse me?
Right. Let me try and translate that. Can you give me sex tip or position for the day if you get to know my questions for the day is love to keep your wifey on her toes? I think what they're saying is, have you got a sex tip or position for the day, if you get to my question, I want to keep my wife
happy
on her toes. Yeah.
Cowgirl?
Yeehaw. Mm-hmm. Did you mean physically on her toes or just... Because maybe that cowgirl might work, actually. That might keep her on her toes if you're doing it in that certain way.
No. We are not tip of the day.
No, I don't think we do that. Yeah. I'm a guy newly married, wife female, had bad sexual experiences her whole life. I'm 45, she 10 years older, is the context.
Oh, well, that's different. Sex therapy.
Yeah, it sort of feels weird to be like, oi, what's your sex tip of the day? I want to keep wifey on her toes.
Yeah, that's
also
nice.
We're newly married and she has had bad sex experience her whole life, and you know, keep her on her toes. I don't know if that's the vibe, mate.
The person's English sounds not great. Predictive is going really, really mad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's something like that. But it sounds as though they need a bit of help as a couple, which is absolutely fair enough. This is not funnily enough, I wouldn't have thought this at the beginning, hearing that, but this is not an unusual problem. You know, it sounds like this is a gentleman who feels a little uncomfortable and nervous, and that he's not able to keep his wife. I mean, I think when he says on her toes, I think what he means is interested. And I think he thinks that if he tries harder, you know, he'll overcome everything and she'll be interested. Maybe there's a bit of people pleasing in there. But certainly it's not that simple. So they probably need just a little bit of help. And honestly, you know, often it doesn't take very much
to
make things better.
Yeah, this feels like it needs, at the very least, a conversation about sex and stuff with your newly married wife, rather than being like, sup, lads, what's a new sex position I can try out of the blue?
Yeah. I mean, and I'd never do anything in a sex session that you haven't discussed beforehand. I'd never do anything as a surprise because it may not be welcome at all.
I think that's pretty good advice, to be honest.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can get better than that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You should rethink about doing this professionally.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I'll give that some thought.
Let's look at some of those avenues. Let's have a think about that. Right, gang. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of the fun things as well. Please make sure, again, because I think, you know what, you cheeky sods, if you're listening to this right now and you've listened to this regularly or you've just got to the end of this, give us a follow. Do subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to it, because you clearly think it's all right. So please do join us in the future, because I think, according to Apple and our analytics on there, 40% of you don't subscribe. 40%. Imagine that. So if you're one of those, please do subscribe. As I say, those reviews on our show pages, scroll down to the bottom for Apple. It's right at the top on there for Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube, hello. But also, maybe like the video, subscribe, comment below your favourite thing in the episode or all that sort of stuff.
Oh, and don't forget.
It all helps out.
Don't forget the New Year resolutions.
Yes, we want New Year's resolutions as well. So they can be sexual, relationshipy. That would be ideal. But also any others as well. Send those in. The Google form in the bio of this episode on our social media channels. The link to that is in the bio of those as well. Guys, send them in. We love them. All right. We love you all very much.
Yeah.
Please join us again for another episode next week. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.